Welcome to Rams Over Baghdad. iPizza, internet pizza's out this week, so I'm filling in as guest host. Well, not even guest host, but yeah. I'm David John Matthews, also known as Upticks. Regularly scheduled, we always have Thowden.
Hello.
Not sure of your real name.
You don't need to know. You never
it's
need
a
to know.
Okay, it's a doxing issue. We've had
security
people like that
issues,
before.
Yeah.
And another welcome back guest is Mary.
Hey.
Tiamer. The real
God,
Danny.
You both struggled with this.
It's T Meyer. Everybody has trouble with that. Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks, Gary.
Nice. So yeah, it's this is going to be a podcast. Is this episode 9? I think it's episode 9.
It's episode 9. Yeah.
Nice. It's only us three because DJ Spy Guy's taking a break, and Internet Pizza's out with relatives having a break.
Out with a case of the relatives. Out sick with relatives. I don't know why you said it that way, but yeah, I mean, that worked out. It seems like he's sick with relatives. But I don't understand. Okay, anyway.
Now that you mentioned it,
it's out of it.
So yeah, let's start off with Thowden. What you been playing, man?
All right, I'll talk about what I've been playing. So Payday 2 is currently free on Steam, and I jumped into a little Payday 2. Because it was free, mainly. I was thinking about buying it because it's such a discount right now. It's like 80% off. But now, like after playing it, I mean, it's a good game, but I don't know. I don't know if it's worth me spending. I don't know, like $10 to get it, even if it is 80% off. It's just not the kind of game where I'm like, man, I really need to buy this game. It's something I would pick up if it was even cheaper, maybe. But it's just not something that's super interesting to me. Of course, I'm only playing the first, like, 3 or 4 maps.
See, I like Payday 2. I played a bunch of it quite a while ago. Almost when the first Steam sale on it was. I think it was about 50%. That's when I jumped in. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot because it almost always just goes into the sort of firefights instead of the stealth things. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you with the first 5 or so. Not even first 5, maybe first 15 hours.
Yeah.
It's sort of just mindless, essentially. You're not really doing heists properly. You're just running in with a gun and shooting enough people to survive until you need to leave.
It's kind of a slow burn. Like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those games where, like, I could see, like, oh, once you know the maps or once you get enough equipment. Yeah, I mean, it's fun after that point, but, you know, for a free weekend or something like that, it's not really one of those games where you're like, man, a lot of people are going to go out and buy this because it's such a slow burn. Like, it's not something that gains a lot from that free weekend. Mm. You know?
Yeah. And
you're not gonna get
what you'll find out, if you buy and play the game, you'll actually find out that you're just sort of grinding these missions to get drops and stuff at the end of the game. Mm. I remember a couple months ago, there was a level or a mission called Four Stores, I think it is, where all you have to do is steal about $2,000, which you can do from like a single cash register, and then wait 2 minutes for a van. And the drop rate by finishing that mission in 5 minutes is super high, but you get sort of low level drops. But I remember just spamming that mission, mm-hmm. just because you would get the drop rate so much, and you would get all the mods or guns and whatnot that you needed.
Mm-hmm. Also, John Wick's in this game. Why is John Wick in the game? What? No, somebody needs to explain this. What happened? How is it, like, official? Like, did the studio come out and, like, I don't know, say something like what?
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's
that's such a weird thing.
Thing with Payday 2 is the other great thing with it is they've been supporting this game for a good, I think it's 2 years old now. It's getting on, and they support this game a hell of a lot, especially with partnerships. So they had this John Wick partnership when the John Wick film came out. I forget what the name of it actually was. And then they also have like a Hotline Miami DLC content pack. With Hotline Miami 2, they had like the special edition. You would get a perk deck, some extra guns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they do these sort of things. And then they even have like a Battlefield parody DLC, which I think was just mostly guns and stuff. But that was kind of funny to see as well. It's really cool that they're supporting this a lot, but at some point you probably are going to ask, are they ever going to do a Payday 3, or are they just going to keep upgrading this Payday 2?
I think you see a lot of the similar like things with like something like Left 4 Dead, where it also has like, are they ever going to do a Left 4 Dead 3, or like they can support these kinds of games like Team Fortress and stuff for so long now because of like the way digital is that, I don't know, it almost feels like a disincentive for them to make another one because they already have that established user base.
Well, it sounds almost like the way you guys are describing it. I haven't played it, but it sounds like it could be like a free-to-play game with all of the DLC and grinding and stuff like that. And I would maybe give it a shot if it was. It sounds almost like Warframe or something in that way.
Yeah, I guess you could consider it that way, yeah. And with the Steam sales being so cheap now, I think there was about 80% off. It may as well be a free-to-play game or a very low buy-in to this thing.
Mm-hmm. I might have to check it out and download it while it's still free this weekend, because I know I've seen people on Twitter talking about it, saying how fun it is, so I kind of want to give it a shot. May as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play anything that's free, basically.
Yeah. That's like I've never taken advantage of these free weekends that Steam is doing recently, but like, I don't know, I said I'm kind of interested in this game, so I might as well try it out. If it's free, like, there's no downside to it, right?
No, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
May as well give it a shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else have I been playing? I played some Heroes of the Storm, because I got a code. It's pretty cool. But it's definitely not like Dota or League, where it's like a competitive thing. But with like Heroes of the Storm, it's more like just for a fun kind of side thing. Like, it's kind of like a bunch of random events in each map, and it's not really focused on being hyper competitive. It's just kind of focused on taking some of the core gameplay aspects of a MOBA and relaying that over into a more, like, I don't know, less competitive type of game. So that was pretty fun.
Okay, I have Heroes of the Storm installed, but I have not played it or turned it on or anything. So what makes it different to, say, Dota or League of Legends, which are arguably pretty much the same game? There's a few core mechanics inside that are different to each other, but they're largely the same game as Heroes of the Storm, following that exact model.
So I'll try. I've only played like probably like 5 games, but from what I've played, there's no items. You have a kind of a cumulative level thing, so everybody levels up at the same time. So, like, I don't know, 5 minutes in, everybody goes to level 5 or something like that. I don't know what the actual level would be at that point. And then each map kind of has some kind of, what would be relating to League, like, kind of like a Year Beast thing, right? Like, you've played Year Beast. It's kind of like every map has a Year Beast type thing going on, like, collect so many coins and then drop the coins off and then you spawn a Year Beast thing or something like that. So it's kind of different in that way, where it's not so much typical Dota stuff. It's more like, I don't know, larger scale changes to maps and stuff. So it's not just simply walk down the lane, farm for 20 minutes. It's more like walk down a lane and then you go into the woods and do other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Would you say it's fun with the changes or additions that they've made to this game?
Yeah,
would it be funner?
It's pretty fun. I don't know, like, I couldn't see it being something where you play ranked a lot or something like that. Like, there's not some big draw or some, like, it's not really balanced in a way that you could play it competitively, but at the same time, it's pretty fun. It's just, you know, if you are not into this type of, into this genre of games, you could definitely find something enjoyable in it.
What if you don't find MOBAs enjoyable at all? Then are you just, like, out of luck with this game?
I think you would probably have fun. I think you would probably have some fun with it. I don't know if it would hold your interest for long, because it still has some of those same core, I don't know,
mechanics.
Yeah, mechanics and stuff that would be in MOBAs generally. But, like, it's pretty fun if you just want to experience it without some of the negativity that you would see in something like League or Dota.
It being less competitive, I bet, would help cut down on that kind of shit. And I did like that Lord of the Rings crappy MOBA that was on Xbox Live like a couple of years ago. I played some of the demo of that, and I didn't find it that bad, so maybe I will give it a shot, too. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's free to play, so there's no, like, disincentive for you to try it once and see if you actually like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, those are great about those games.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all I've been playing.
Very true, yeah.
Cool.
Nice. I guess I'll jump in next, because I'm slightly relevant. I've also been playing a bit of Payday 2 because they recently updated their... What is their... Spring... What's your spring party thing? Spring break, that's it.
Spring break, yeah, there
yes.
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, spring they break? Had like a spring break update. Woo! And yeah, so they were updating that, and they've added a whole bunch of stuff that's coming out over the next week in Payday 2. And while playing it today, I realized I remember exactly why I stopped playing Payday 2, and it's because I still have this weird issue of not being able to connect to pretty much any game that's listed in the feed. So when you go into a game on Payday 2, you can either join your friends, which is how I have to play Payday 2 now, or there's a sort of server browser which pops up a bunch, say about 40 games, which you can click on. No matter which one I click on, they just don't log in. It's just an endless refresh.
Huh. That's weird.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, damn. I'm not sure what it is at all, but yeah, I need to fix that. Hopefully I can fix it. Other than that, I've been playing a bunch of Hotline Miami 2 because that game came out this week and it's super good. It's pretty much the same as the first one, which means I'm enjoying it a hell of a lot. Haven't finished it yet, but I feel like I'm close, maybe.
Are there any differences, the first one and the second one?
Yeah, so I won't go into sort of too much spoilers because this you figure this out within about 3 levels or something, but you're actually playing a various amount of different people. Instead of Hotline Miami 1, you're sort of essentially following the one person, or the second person, the biker guy, and the epilogue bits. But with Hotline Miami 2, it seems like you're playing at least 3 to 5 people throughout the game, which is really interesting. And hopefully they sort of all converge on the same storyline.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then with that, they also have their own unique sort of masks, because Hotline Miami was all about each mask having a specific ability. So there's one person who just doesn't use masks at all, and then there's, say, another person who also doesn't use masks, but he also never uses guns, so whenever you pick up a gun, you see him, like, unload all the cartridges, but he doesn't shoot them off, and then he just drops the gun. It's kind of cool to see that. And he only, instead of, like, bashing someone's skull in with a baseball bat, he sort of hits them in the stomach, so they're writhing in pain on the ground, but you clearly see that guy doesn't kill anyone. It's kind of interesting in that regard. And then sort of other people who do use masks have a select amount of masks. So even though you unlock masks through the game, you might only unlock a certain person's mask who you might play later on, say about 5 maps later. So it's pretty interesting that they're forcing you to sort of mix and match with the masks rather than just finding one you like and sticking with it.
Okay, so I've heard actually that, like, there's some, like, people who feel like the maps are a little too large and you get hit from across the map or something like that. Is that something that happens a lot, or is it more like the first
one? Yeah, there's some interesting sections like that. I've been finding that most of the gameplay, to be honest, you can sort of extend your view range. Mm-hmm. I've been finding I've been doing that a hell of a lot. So, yeah, that criticism is definitely warranted in that sometimes you'll be casually shooting and then out of nowhere something you would not have known unless you sort of ran through there like an idiot, or seen him before sort of run at you. You wouldn't know that guy would be there. So you have to play a lot safer until you clear a map.
Okay.
But yeah, and then once you play these maps, you sort of just, it's all about tweaking of, okay, I know this person's routine. I know this guy's just on a random routine, so he could be anywhere, but he's roughly in this area. How do I play around with these character, these enemies, and how do I get through this map safely?
That was totally the impression I got playing the little demo of it at PAX South, too. Like, I've hardly played any of Hotline Miami 1, which I want to finish before I get to. But, yeah, the big giant levels sure seemed like it really changed how it played a lot. So I can understand some people not liking that.
Yeah. I still like that game a lot. I'm going to try and finish it tonight. I've been stuck on one level for a good day now because it's really annoying. And I think the problem with it is that it's a giant level, so there's not many sort of corners to hide around, which is why I figure I'm having the problem with that. So yeah, I guess I'm one of those people. That game sucks because of the giant levels.
Yeah. So what do you think about the soundtrack? You like it?
Yeah. I was listening to that unofficial soundtrack leak on YouTube for a couple months ago, and I'm really glad that that's the actual soundtrack because I really enjoyed that. It's a really good soundtrack. It adds on from Hotline Miami 1's bass, sort of deep house trance techno vibe.
Cool.
How long is the game, like, do you think? Is it, like, longer or shorter?
I think it's longer. I've been playing it a lot longer than my first run with Hotline Miami 1, I would say. But I think that's because it's harder. And my guess is you seem to be unlocking a track each time you get to a new level. And I'm probably about level 16 in, I think. And as an indicator, there's about 45 tracks on the actual soundtrack. So that's also intro musics, menu musics and stuff. So I'm going to say there's a rough estimate of 25 to 30 levels.
Sounds pretty good. Not too long.
Yeah, I think that's a key thing that they want to stick to. They probably don't want it to be too long. And then people can always replay to unlock more masks or play around with masks. And then probably the speedrunners are probably going to have a field day with this game, I'm sure.
Okay.
Well, cool.
And then the last thing I think I've been toying around with today, just a couple hours ago, is a little item that was released. I'm not sure when it was released, but I think it came to our knowledge on Friday thanks to Giant Bomb's Unprofessional Friday stream. And it's called the New Retro Arcade, which is basically an Unreal Engine rendering of sort of just one floor of an arcade, an old school arcade palace. Palace? Is that fine?
Yeah, sure. It's,
That's weird. What do you do in it? Like, what's the... Do you do anything?
You mostly walk around inside this arcade, which looks really sleek and all crazy neon and stuff. And it's basically a nice user interface, let's say, for you to play your ROMs or...
Oh, that's cool. Your,
say, questionably obtained items. Yeah, but it's really cool. It has sort of like inbuilt arcade cabinets where you can actually play all the games that you sort of collected up. And with the download, they sort of link you directly to the first arcade pack, which is very questionable, so you might want to get that while you can. I probably shouldn't say how you should get it, but it's really easy if you just do some Googling. And then, yeah, it comes with this sort of arcade builder tool, where with this game pack one that you get, it already has, like, the display cabinet, arcade cabinet, art for the side walls, and just the old school arcade cabinets cutouts, so it looks the same as well. which I think is really cool. And with all that sort of base stuff, you can probably tool around or modify your own arcade cabinets, because there's no Windjammers in there. But I'm sure if you have
a copy of Windjammers,
some form of EXE, yeah, I'm sure you can just copy paste it into a cartridge. Yeah.
So if I get this, could I put a Persona 3 cabinet in there? Is that something I could do?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going to try and toy with this later tonight, but the arcade builder tool sort of lists everything. So, like, there's drop downs of, like, either cartridges that you plug into a little SNES that's on the side next to a big TV screen, or there's, like, an actual, say, arcade cabinet labeled Galaga or something. And then you can just go into that drop down and look at what that's being directed at. And then you can probably look at whatever art piece there is and mimic that with your own Persona 3 invokers.
Ooh. That's pretty cool.
It did look really awesome on UPF, and I would definitely like to mess around with it if I ever get like a VR headset. That looks so fun. I know I'm totally spoiled with that arcade I can go to all the time, but I would definitely spend time in a virtual one too. It looks great.
Now it's VR also, right? You could use VR in some way?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's directly in there. It's right in the software. Like, you go into options and there's about three different things that are enable Oculus, and then it's even got stuff like, hey, you should probably slow down the walking speed because it'll be better for VR movements, or click this for smoother VR movements. It's already inbuilt there. It's cool.
That's cool.
So yeah, other than that, that's pretty much all I've been playing. That and, like, I've played 10 minutes of Nuclear Throne. And that's hella fun, and I'm probably going to play a lot more of that soon.
What is Nuclear Throne?
It's from the Vlambeer Studios, Rami Ishmael's sort of... I think it's still in its sort of Kickstarter/Steam Greenlight stage.
Mm-hmm.
Still being developed, but it's essentially just kind of like a Binding of Isaac sort of game, where you start off in a roguelike random generated dungeon, you pick a character at the start, and then you sort of just jump in with a very low amount of health, and you start off with guns, and you rely a lot on drops, and then it also has sort of an XP leveling up system, so the more things you kill in the level, the more XP you'll get to eventually level your stuff up, so like extra range, or you'll get extra health. And what's interesting is the level ups are also random, so it's not like you can always go down the exact same path. You'll get four options, and they could be random.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. I'll probably have more to talk about that next week.
Okay.
So, Mary, what have you been playing or been doing?
I've been playing a lot of stuff. I've been playing more Final Fantasy XIV, but nothing really to talk about on that. It's pretty boring. More Helldivers. I'm getting to the harder difficulties with my husband Gary, and that's a lot of fun. But there's nothing really new to report on that either. Just progressing more and more. The main things I've been playing and want to talk about are Pokemon Shuffle and 3D Outrun on the 3DS. Pokemon Shuffle, it's weird. I don't know.
I have that game somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Nintendo. They just decided to install it on everybody, so give it a shot.
Yeah, so I've been toying
it on everybody's thing. Like, I haven't been following this. Tell me what happened. What happened? It just installed on people's things?
Yeah, apparently, unless you tell them not to, they will just install stuff if they feel like it while it's in sleep mode. So I just opened it up one morning and it's like, oh, great, that Pokemon game is on here. So I'm going to play it because it's free and I didn't have to do anything. So their nefarious scheme worked, I guess.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it is pretty weird. It's a basic, like, match three puzzle game, free-to-play kind of mobile game thing. You have different Pokemon in there that you catch on each stage. Different Pokemon have different, like, attacks and things. Like, you have to worry, like, if you have a water one, you want to attack fire Pokemon with it. Stuff like that, and it'll do more damage. It's basic, and you level up those Pokemon and stuff, kind of like Puzzle and Dragons and crap. But it's kind of bullshitty, too. Like, each of the Pokemon at the end of a stage have a base catchability number, which is, like, determined by the game. And some of them are just, like, way super low. Like, Torchic is one of them on here. And the base catchability was 5%. And, like, to get the percentage higher, you have to, like, clear it with less moves as possible.
Oh, okay.
That's weird. Yeah. And even if you clear, like, that stage using only one move, which is kind of a pain in the ass to do, and you basically have to be lucky to do it, you only end up with a maximum of 41%. So that kind of sucks.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah. But I guess you can up the percentage, too. Like, if you have enough coins, you can buy a Great Ball. The game will just be like, hey, you have 2,500 coins, buy this, and it'll up your percentage of catching it. But it only ups it, like, 20%, and you barely get any coins playing the damn game. But, of course, you can buy them.
Hmm.
And that's always great, yeah.
Yeah, ooh, fun.
So
how much are the coins?
The coins are like 3,000 coins is one jewel thingy, which is like equivalent to a dollar.
Yeah,
you can, like, the most you can buy is 75 jewels for $50. So that's a great idea. Spend $50 on this Pokemon game. But yeah, even if you, like, use a Great Ball, you only get up to 61%, like, on that example, so you can't, I mean, you're not guaranteed to catch it anyway, so you may have to go through and do it again. So, it really sucks. Oh, I don't know.
Is the Great Ball highest thing you can get? Or is it, like, could you get a Master Ball?
I think there are Master Balls eventually. I don't know how much they cost. Like, unless you have enough coins, the game won't even present that option to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had, like, more than 3,000 coins, so I don't even know how much it is. I'm guessing that's, like, some high-level Pokemon Shuffle play or something.
Yeah, I guess so. That seems really...
Ugh.
I mean, it's cool that it's like a free game that, like, they automatically install and you don't have to do anything, but at the same time it's like, there's some, what are you doing, Nintendo? Don't go down the dark road. Don't
yeah, go to the dark real.
Side with free to play stuff.
It's definitely a dark road. Yeah. And I mean, people who are like, oh, Nintendo should just put all their games on cell phones, and like, if this is what they're gonna do, that would be awful.
Yeah.
No thank you. Ugh.
I wonder, is it on cell phones, do you think? Do you think they're going to release it on cell phones? Because it could probably be.
It isn't yet, but I totally wouldn't be surprised if they brought it out on cell phones. I know that they've released some Pokemon stuff on there, so why not?
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you guys tried it at all?
If I had a 3DS, I would try it, but...
I've played a little bit of it. I've only just... got to the point where they're like, hey, yeah, Great Balls are awesome. Maybe you should buy some of these. Oh, you don't have coins. Maybe you should get coins to buy some of these Great Balls. Yeah.
Oh,
and that's when I turned it off.
Yeah, smart move. Yeah, I mean, it's like addictive if you're into that match three kind of stuff, but there's no way I'm going to pay for any of it. I'll probably still keep messing around with it just to see how crazy it gets, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, the other game I've really been playing like crazy on my 3DS is the Sega Classics 3D Outrun release. That just came out this week. I really like it. It's fun. I really like all of the Outrun games, though, so that's not that surprising. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're great games, so, you know, I can't blame you.
Yeah. This is a port of the old ancient arcade game, like the first one, and it's, I don't know, it's still pretty damn fun, even though you can't drift or anything. The 3D effect they put in there makes it really fast, and they changed it from 30 frames per second to 60, and so that makes it even seem like you're going super fast even more.
Really? So they upped it to 60?
Nice. That's
yeah.
Boy, yeah. That's gotta be... I mean, that's a game that, like, what? How many years old is that?
Oh, I don't even know. It's gotta be, like, 86, 87, I'm guessing.
That's gotta be a pretty big task, like, to upgrade something that old to 60 frames per second. That's gotta be... Wow. Okay.
Yeah, apparently they did something similar in the Saturn version, but this is even fancier.
I like that because... If you turn the 3D on the 3DS, then it becomes 30 frames per second, I guess. And then I guess you're basically playing like old school Outrun.
But the 3D really adds a whole lot. Like, I don't know what the deal is, but it's like I'm really driving a little fancy sprite car. It looks great. They added in some extra songs, too, for this version. Cruising Line is awesome. But Camino a Mi Amor, I don't really like that much. It's okay. I don't know.
Doesn't sound like a great name for a track, but okay, yeah.
It's a great name.
Is it?
It's very Hispanic. I don't know. That's probably not the right word. But yeah, it's like has a Spanish style to it. It's I don't know. It's cool. They added in, like, a whole bunch of options, too. Like, an equalizer, whole bunch of game options and stuff. So, I don't know. It's really nice. It's a nice version of an old game. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, if they add up to 60, nice. It seems like they put some work into it. Any more yeah. Sega seems like they're putting some work yeah. and stuff, so that's cool.
yeah, that's basically it for me. Bunch of games.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess if that was it, we should probably jump into news or something.
Yeah.
Cool.
What do we want to start with first?
Do some Mortal Kombat. What even is this Mortal Kombat thing you have written down here?
So it's a mess of a line, but I can explain it. In my head, it makes sense. So Mortal Kombat X, the NetherRealm team, recently put out a new trailer for... the Cage family, so Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade. And there's a new one called Cassie Cage. I guess it's their daughter, which is really cool because Johnny Cage... Okay, I don't know the MK lore as much. But yeah, it looks really... They look really cool. I'm glad that Johnny Cage is in it because I've said from the start I'm going to main Johnny Cage as bad as he probably will always be. I'm going to try and do that. And then... at the same time, on Friday the 13th, which was about 2 days ago from this recording, they put out maybe like a 10-second trailer announcing that Jason Voorhees is going to be one of the special characters. I guess he's DLC, so you will have to pay him for him, but yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I always like to see those special characters where they have something that you wouldn't expect to be in like a Mortal Kombat game. What was who did they have in the last one? Kratos, was that it? That was such a weird thing. In MK9. I think they had...
Yeah, they had...
They had Freddy, too.
Yeah, I think PlayStation had him. Yeah. Freddy was great.
So, are they not going to have Freddy and Jason at the same time in this game? Because that would be pretty cool to have them fight, but... I didn't see anything about that. Yeah, you would hope so. Yeah. It would make sense.
I think one of the things they were trying to do in MK9 was exactly that. And I guess they tied up the Freddy license before they got the Jason license, and then maybe things just went crazy wrong. My hope is that they have the Freddy license for, like, another game or so that it can still happen here.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be better than that crappy movie.
Yeah. You would think they would make some inroads, right? Like, if they got him in the last game, it wouldn't be that much harder to negotiate for another one.
Yeah, totally.
And then to represent Internet Pizza, who's not here, I just added as well that Fnatic won the ESL Katowice Counter-Strike GO tournament that was happening. I think that was one of the main ones throughout the year, so that's interesting. And to add my own Counter-Strike spin on it, where I highlight all the dumb stuff, Fnatic is that team that was basically cheating in the semi-final of pretty much the equivalent of the international last year,
mm-hmm.
and everyone called it out on it. And then when people did a bunch of searching into one of the players, Flusher, it's just extremely obvious that he's been using aimbots for a hell of a long time. And he's still in the team who just won this main tournament. So, well done, Counter-Strike.
Really?
Keep being really weird. Yeah, it's crazy how he's not been kicked out or anything.
That is nuts. Yeah, you would think that wouldn't happen. That's weird. Ugh. That's all that I know about Counter-Strike, is that people are cheating in it.
Man, that's a bad thing for the sport to be known as. Pizza would be losing his mind. Somewhere he's like rolling in his... Somewhere he just like looked up from the computer and was like, oh no.
Yeah. I think they beat his favorite team as well. Ninja in Pajamas, I think, is his favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they are usually their favorites. So yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Well, that's kind of cool, I guess. Well, I mean, it's sports history, man. You know, it's like early boxing. There you go. Early boxing with all the corruption.
True.
And less violence, kind of, sort.
Yeah. So next one, I guess, is City Skyline has pretty much been reported to be a breakthrough hit with just massive sales for probably a small team, not quite indie, but not quite AAA either. Who is it? Paradox. Paradox team doesn't really do AAA games, but it's really awesome that a game which is basically SimCity, or what people wanted SimCity to be, is getting the praise and the sales that it actually deserves.
Yeah, totally. It seems like a good game, so they deserve it. I think I also saw that like 17 people worked on that game, so that's really crazy. It just goes to show, you don't need EA bureaucracy demanding a whole bunch of arbitrary things to make a good game.
Everyone I talk to who has that game just can't stop talking about how great and even detailed it is. So yeah, it's really tempting to get it now.
So yeah, I know I want to get it too.
Has anyone played it here? Because the reason I included it as a news was that I needed a reason to talk about it, and no one has played it, so.
Yeah.
No, I want to, but... Yeah. So I don't know. I got so many other games.
Yeah, so many games on this list.
So it's the fastest selling Paradox game? Like, that seems like a pretty crazy thing. For like a really small Paradox. Paradox makes a lot of games, so. Plus, I think it's probably going to outsell SimCity, so. If it outsells SimCity, that'll be pretty crazy.
Let's see what other games that they've made. So are they the Magicka people? Because I see them listed as Magicka 2.
Crusader Kings and whatever they want, another one? Universalis, is that
Mountain Blade.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so they do quite a lot. That's awesome that this kind of is their first sort of SimCity run-in or SimCity clone that they're making, and it's a really good one. That's awesome.
Yep.
And then I guess the next item on the news list is, I haven't seen this, so I assume this is one of you guys. There's an exploit on the Nintendo 3DS where you can reuse Nintendo-issued Miis in the Mii Plaza to get all the puzzle pieces that you want and need.
What? Miis? They're still a thing?
I just use Home Pass to get all the puzzle pieces I need, so I don't know. I guess that maybe counts as cheating too, but whatever. That seems kind of like a pain in the butt, this exploit.
Yeah, the this process. So yeah, the process is you sort of get a character. It mm-hmm. seems like, okay, so I don't think I can do this process because it's specifically special Nintendo issued Miis, which I don't think I've ever seen one in Europe. And the website I went to see this listed like Abraham Lincoln, which I have not got and I don't think I will ever get as a character. But what you do is you get the special sort of Mii, use the puzzle pieces it has and stuff, delete the character, sort of deactivate mm-hmm. your Wi-Fi, Spot Pass, Street Pass stuff, reactivate all that again, and then the Nintendo-issued Mii will just appear again, and he will appear as if you've done nothing with them, so you can repeat your puzzle pieces and stuff. Seems like actually a pretty basic exploit, but...
Hmm.
Kind of obvious.
That seems like a really strange, I don't know, workaround. But okay, I mean, Miis, man. I don't know, give them something to do. Like, I feel like nobody uses Miis. Who's talking about Miis, man?
I mean, they're good for Tomodachi life, I guess, but who really cares about puzzle pieces? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't whatever. Know.
Do whatever you want. And like.
Yeah.
Or Nintendo's probably just going to fix it and, like, freaking pieces. Out right now, so. Shut it down, no.
And then, speaking of shutting it down, Sony is shutting down the PlayStation Mobile. I didn't write this one either, so do you guys have any info on this? Because I didn't think
yeah,
that
so
was
they're talking about shutting
problem.
Down PlayStation Mobile, and I don't know much about PlayStation Mobile because I don't have any PlayStation stuff that can use mobile, but I assume it services both Vita and PlayStation Sony phones, I believe. So if you have
yeah.
a Vita, maybe you lose ability to buy stuff. If I don't know if you could, but if anyone knows about Vita, please fill me in.
So, with from
yeah.
what I got with the PlayStation Mobile, it was sort of like you could get to your account and you could talk to your friends or see your friend list. I think you could even go to the PlayStation store itself to buy games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some like weird tie-ins with a select amount of games that you could do stuff with, but it wasn't really big, I guess. I guess no one was using it because they're looking to shut it down.
Well, my husband used it a little bit because he actually owns an Xperia Play 2 phone. So you could actually buy like specific games on the PlayStation Mobile store there, but he never really did. He just used it all for emulation, really. I mean, the little pad that's built into the phone was a nice way to play like old Super Nintendo games, Genesis games and stuff. But I don't think he ever actually bought like any official games on that thing. So I can see why they're shutting it down. They don't even make Xperia Play like phones anymore like that. So whatever.
I think they're saying that they lose access to certain stuff. Like, I don't know. Someone would have to tell me, but it seems like, I don't know, a big thing. At least for people who really got into that, they're going to lose access to stuff in some way.
Yeah.
It can't be that many people.
So, yeah,
that was pretty much it for the news that we have here. Not so much of a newsworthy week this week, I guess.
No.
But I guess...
Lots of games, not so much news.
So many games, so many great games, and it just keeps coming next week. What do we have? Bloodborne? Do we have any other games coming out next week?
Isn't there... When is Mortal Kombat coming out? That's got to be soon, anyway.
It should be soon. When is Mortal Kombat coming out? Battlefield Hardline should be out soon.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
So, who's excited for that? Nobody!
Exactly.
Poor people that work on that game. They're going to be crushed. But, you know, you've made a game in a really, I don't know, politically sensitive area. That's rough.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's real rough, guys.
Final Fantasy Type O HD comes out this week, and I would be excited to play that if I had a PlayStation 4, but I don't, so, oh well.
Explain to me what that game is, because I have no idea what that game is, and people keep talking about it. Like, what?
It's basically, like, a Crisis Core almost style PSP action RPG. Mm-hmm. But they just made an HD version of it, and it's going to have that Final Fantasy 15 demo. So that's the main reason people are buying it, okay. I think.
Okay.
How much is this again?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be a regular $60 game. So, yep. I haven't looked it up that much because, like I said, I don't have a system that can play it. So, whatever.
I don't think the Final Fantasy 15 demo is worth $60.
No, probably not.
Not anymore. Maybe like, I don't know, 10 years ago, a Final Fantasy demo would be. But they've lost so much ground, I say. I don't even know. Oh, my God. The choice is Square. Why are you doing this?
Still waiting for that FF7 remake. Not really. That's never going to happen, I'm guessing.
All I'm saying is Lightning Returns is a bad game, okay? That's all I'm saying. There we go. That's it. It's a bad game. It is a bad story. They should be ashamed of themselves. Okay, moving along.
Yeah. So I guess we'll jump quickly to emails. I only got two emails, really. One's about... Okay. From Mike Sfora, a.k.a. Brandwolf, German heavy tanks, we need to know about which tank's better. The German heavy tank, Panzerkampfwagen, Tiger Asf B, Tiger 2.
The Tiger 2.
Or the Russian heavy tank, the Russian heavy tank, IS-3, specifically those two tanks. Which tank do you go for, guys?
The Tiger 2, during World War II.
Tiger 2.
Tiger 2, man. Germany. Really good at but a look lot at the things. IS-3s. Yeah, and it's a Russian tank.
Yeah, it's a little stubby and cute and everything.
Well, speaking of cute, the...
I go for the IS-3.
Yeah, really? You're going for the IS-3? Wow.
No, why?
Yeah.
It has no, like, the front armors in
this
strong,
man. It looks so smooth,
man.
And...
Look at it, it'll fall apart, like, one shot.
I
don't even know anything really about
tanks.
Yeah,
but they probably made them.
So, oh well. But the Tiger 2 is in anime, and the IS-3 is not. It's in Girls und Panzer, so Tiger 2 wins.
What? What is that anime about? Could you explain what that anime is about?
It's like a weird alternate history, like alternate reality thing where apparently girls do tank fighting and that's just like a cool girly sport that girls do over there. Yeah.
Oh,
and
anime.
They have like each of the different schools have different nationalities of tanks that they deal with. So there's like a British tank school. German tank school, Italian tank school that happens to have a girl named Pepperoni, and their school symbol is a pizza. It's really stupid. There's actually a movie coming out for it pretty soon now, too. So,
I don't know.
They did a World
on.
Of Tanks crossover. It's
I don't
dumb.
Even. Oh my god. I can't. What? Is it successful? I just don't even. Thing. I don't even. Okay.
That's what you have to say with anime. Just, okay, whatever. Just, yeah,
oh
fine.
Oh my god, look at these pictures. You need to use this one for the podcast.
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni? Jesus Christ. You're using that one for the podcast, I swear to god. It's so bad.
Tanks!
Tanks.
Oh god. Tanks. Tank. And then the final email that's come in is from Klaus saying, yo, which Japanese or Korean pop artist would have the best chance in Eurovision? You guys got any ideas on this?
Well, no. I gotta say, Kiari Pamyu is super crazy, so she would totally fit in for Eurovision, for sure. I don't even know that much about J-pop or K-pop at all, but she would be great. She would totally fit in.
I have no idea about any of this. I have no idea. This is out of my depth.
My option would probably be Hatsune Miku, because that would just be the best thing if someone that's not even real would win Eurovision. And it makes sense because it's Eurovision.
Oh my god, yeah. Can I change my vote now? Miku would also be friggin' awesome. And oh my god, yeah. Miku, yep. Miku for Eurovision.
Did you see that awkward time Miku was on, what show was it? Oh man, it's a late night show. Old guy.
Letterman?
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That was real awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
I watched it all and I couldn't stop. And then it was so awkward. He was so awkward at the end. It was awkward. It was great.
You can tell that was happened. Just like, what the hell? This is stupid. Why is this on my show? But I loved it.
Awesome, man. That was the emails, I guess. Keep sending them in. Ramsbag@gmail.com. I realize I'd never actually said it at the start, so that's going to be fun. Ramsbag.
Ramsbag. Bag of Roms.
Yeah.
In a bag.
ROMS.
We could talk about anime.
In a bag. Yeah.
We should talk about anime. We should talk about anime at the end.
Okay.
Anime Minute. You can edit it in. There you go. What anime do you want to talk about? Optics, you watch Bears, right? You watch Yurikuma Arashi? Come on, let's talk about some anime.
Oh, man. Yeah, I haven't seen it in... What episode are we on now? Episode 8? I think I've got up to episode 5 or so. But that... I like how it starts off with no sort of general plot or anything. It's just, look at this crazy anime for the first 2 episodes, and then it actually brings in legitimate plot.
Yeah. It's a pretty weird anime, but I'm enjoying it. So, you know, it's a solid anime.
Yeah.
It's definitely made by Ikuhara. It's totally his style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm super behind. I've only seen the first 2 episodes, but I so need to catch up. Ah, it was cool.
What else are you people watching? I could talk about JoJo for an hour and a half, but we're not going to talk about JoJo because JoJo is silly.
I'll watch JoJo this week. I'll watch JoJo.
Go watch some JoJo.
yeah. The 2 main animes that I've been watching that are pretty much ending in the next 2 weeks or so are Shirobako, which is always, it's a really great fun anime, which is really weird because it's an anime based following ladies in the anime industry and sort of them making an anime.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because it sort of doesn't just focus on the 5 characters. It focuses on about 20 different people inside the anime studio and other related studios on like, hey, this guy needs to do this, but he can't because these people need to do that and blah, blah. And they make it a really cute way of roughly showing how an anime might be made. It's really cool.
That's cool. I never heard of that. I'm looking it up now. It looks all right. Looks all right.
Yeah, it's got the standard sort of like anime tropes of cuteness and whatnot, but it's really cool. And then the other one I've been watching, I don't actually know. Oh yeah, I do know the Japanese title. It's Shigatsu wa Kimi no Uso, but I just call it Violin Girl because it mostly focuses around a piano player and a violin player as well, who sort of helps this piano player who lost his piano playing ways, for lack of a better term, to get back into playing the piano and trying to make his life a better thing because he's in love with her. But naturally, because it's an anime, it's like a love triangle. So she's liking this his best friend at the time and whatnot. And it's really interesting because they focus on a lot of awesome classical music. Kind of like another anime called Modane, I think. I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it follows on that sort of idea of a pianist and violinist combo and making classical music, but it sort of moves away from it, I think, because spoilers, at some point the violin girl gets into some health issues at some point, and then it sort of becomes a prime focus target of the pianist and his feelings and how he needs to sort of expand on them while he plays the piano. But it's really interesting, and I like it a hell of a lot.
Okay.
Cool.
What you been watching, Mary?
I've been watching mainly just Idolmaster Cinderella Girls, which they recently announced is going to get a second season in July, so that's pretty cool. It just basically follows these girls and their becoming idols. Just their journey and all of that, going from not even knowing how to sing to actually performing concerts. And it's actually handled pretty well. Like, it's not all weird and anime pandery and gross from what I've seen. Okay. Like, you would maybe expect it to be, but...
Yeah. When I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, man, yeah.
From the images I saw, yeah.
But no, yeah, it's like totally, to use like a dorky term, like heartfelt and honest. It just really deals with how teenagers would probably react putting into that situation, like dealing with not being an overnight sensation and stuff like that. Like, their first major concert is just a little crappy show in a mall. And the lead girl freaks out because she just barely sees anybody there and gets super freaked out and tries to quit. Like, oh, I failed. I fucked up. We're not super popular. And so the producer has to deal with all of that. And it's done super great. I really like the kind of stupid characters in it, too. Like, there's a super overly goth girl who talks like she's in Castlevania or something. And they have, like, the giant tall character who they dress up in Godzilla costumes for some reason. I don't know. It sounds really dumb, but it's animated pretty nicely. Like, it doesn't have any CG for any of the dancing scenes and stuff like that. So it's a nice show. I like it a lot. And I wish I could play the game, but that's probably not going to ever come out over here. Oh, well.
What platform is it on?
It's Japanese mobile phones. So, oh, yeah, man. I doubt it's going to come out. Yeah. It's like a mobile browser game, like that Warship Girls anime came out recently.
There's a Warship what? Girls anime?
Yeah.
Why are they Ken making Foley girls collection. Into battle thing? I don't under what.
Yep. It's World War II battleships that are now cutesy moe girls and play their game, spend money.
Amazing.
That's the wave of Japanese video games apparently right now. That's what they're all doing. So get used to it.
Sounds great. I need more PS4 versions.
Oh, God. I got nothing.
But yep, that's basically like all the anime thing. I've been watching. Yeah, no, I can't even watch that Warship Girl one because it just totally assumes that you already know all the characters and are obsessed with the game. Like, this Idolmaster one, anybody could watch. You don't have to know anything, but... Nope. Mm-hmm. No Warship Girls for me.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, that will probably do it for us.
Cool. Yeah,
little short one.
A short
now
episode.
I can sleep.
All right.
All right. Cool. So I guess this was another episode 9 of ROMs Over Baghdad.
Yeah.
Like, comment, subscribe. We're on iTunes now, guys. I finally... did it after about 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Cool. All right.
So, one last thing. It was really interesting to see the subscriber rate of like 2 from Podomatic, and then about a day of being up on iTunes, we instantly got about 15 subscribers. It was really weird. I didn't expect that to actually happen.
Are we growing? We're the next big thing
in podcasts? We're getting popular.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
Next big thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna plug the crap out of it. Like, comment, subscribe. Come on, send some emails.
We need emails.
Review.
Send bad animes about girls being made into warships. Just send lots of those. Send recommendations for anime. I'll watch all the anime if you make me. Don't make me watch the anime.
Girl tank versus war tank. Which one wins?
Warship. Okay.
Pepperoni is going to win.
See it?
No. Jesus.
Pepperoni. Team pizza.
Do the outro.
I don't even remember the outro. Yeah, that was it. This is new outro. Yo, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. What?